In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon. It's good to see some of you here today, especially today we have some who are visiting as well, as we had some of you actually in Santa Rosa today, yesterday. It's good that we know where we can go. I just have two things to share with you, my means of announcement. The first of which is that if there's anybody who needs baptism, or any other sacrament in our community, whether you missed it out as an adult, or whether maybe there was a child who was just born, come and talk to us so we can get them ready for baptism. We want to baptize everybody. Remember, the baptism is the intro portal to salvation. Intro portal to salvation. So come talk to us so we can get you or the godparents, all of you, prepared for receiving the sacrament to bring us salvation. Second thing is there's a lot of sickness and illness that we've come to know recently. Obviously, everybody's heard that the president has become positive for this virus and those who are around him, so we need to pray for him. But also, there was a rumor that we need to dispel about one of our priests. Father Rob Yaksich doesn't have coronavirus. He has been tested positive anyway, although that was going around. He wanted to make sure that we dispelled it in the area around him. He's the priest there at Our Lady of Sorrows in Las Vegas. He's just came in contact with somebody, so he's taking precautions to be able to be away from others, just in case. So keep him in prayer, but he hasn't contracted it anyway. But he does accept the prayers. As well, the reason why Father Sinnott isn't here today is because Father Pascus has taken ill. Remember, we've been praying for him for the past few weeks. Well, because of that, they haven't been able to have Mass. So Father Sinnott has agreed to go over there and give them Mass on Sunday mornings during this time. So that's why he's not here with us today. Father Pascus is spending time in Clovis at Our Lady Guadalupe Church, where Father Eli is taking care of him there. So pray for him. He came to us as an older man in his 80s, and so he's doing great and helping us out, as well as Father Mangragon there in Anton Chico, again, sick, and so they've not been able to have Mass normally over there. So pray for these priests. Pray for them, as well as all those who we know, like Carlos and others, who are very sick at this time. So pray that God, who is the healer, will bring about the healing that's necessary there, all things in accordance with his holy will, so that even the suffering that is endured through sickness may bring about a greater glory in heaven as well. That's what we know our God can do. It's more powerful than anything. I want to share with you, as we continue on with our praying of the rosary these 54 days, remember we just have a couple more days left of our first half where we pray for our Lord's guidance, and the second half of our 54 days, the last 27 days, we're thanking God. Just like that second reading that Pauline gave for us, we pray and we do so with thanksgiving even before we receive the graces. That's the way Catholics pray. Let's hear that reading once again. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7, St. Paul tells us, "Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Pray the rosary every day. Are you feeling overstressed or maybe overworked? Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. Are you filled with anxiety and fear about things going on in your life or maybe in our country's situation? Hold Our Lady's hand. Are you seeking peace but you can't find any? Is your mind everywhere but at rest during these times? Finger the beads. Maybe you're frustrated by the lies, the half-truths of the deceitful and disgraceful actions that you see. Maybe of injustice or impurity, of hatred and ingratitude. Maybe it's the mediocrity you're experiencing in your own daily life or in that of our leaders, which should be held to a higher standard. All of these things deserve the strongest condemnation, not praise, because they're not excellent in any way. St. Paul recognizes this, and he's begging us today. He's saying, ponder instead, not those things, but the 15 decades of Our Lady of Rosary, walking through the life, death, and resurrection of our blessed Lord. These mysteries, when we pray them, they help us to take on the very mind of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Do it every day. That's where our hearts need to be. In the place of all that negativity that's dragging you and me down, if we allow it to do so, the rosary will show you and me a place of peace that surpasses all human ability to understand. That will guard our hearts and mind in our blessed Lord Jesus. You know, in the first week of October, 449 years ago, there was a battle that was raging in the midst of the Mediterranean seas on which hung the whole future of Western civilization. The question that was put was whether Christians would put aside their petty disputes and their common disagreements between nations to join against the common enemy bent on their destruction, or would the Mohammedan horns defile the Christian people and their churches. It took a valiant, saintly man, Pope Pius V, to bring Western Christendom together. And so he gathered the forces and armed them to go off to the southern coast of Greece at a place called Lepanto. I've been there. And the Pope St. Pius V, a Dominican prior to his consecration as Pope, he handed the greatest weapon in the entire of the papal arsenal to beat off the Saracen hordes. He put it in the hands not just of the men in the ships who were there battling at that time, but in the hands of every Christian in the West, every man, woman, and child. He called them to do what? Pray the rosary. Pray the rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The faithful all over Christendom stayed up all week long in their churches or within their private individual homes, praying the rosary all day and night, begging the Lord of heaven and earth, begging the Queen of heaven to go and to intercede on their behalf so that they might not be visited upon with this massive destruction which their sins indeed did deserve. Mother Mary, she took up the cause. She interceded for all of Christian Europe, and God delivered his people in a mighty triumph that was no less grand than that which was waged in almost what is prehistory at the time of Moses when he parted the Red Sea and destroyed Pharaoh's army in its midst. It was one of the greatest naval battles and victories the world has ever seen, and is still studied today by naval battle scholars. This defeat took place on the 7th of October, 1571. And since that time, the first Sunday in the month of October has been requested by popes and by saints alike to be offered in honor of Our Lady of Victory, Our Lady of the Rosary, to honor Our Lady who gives her children, you and me, victory when we pray her rosary. This is that first week of October. You know, not long ago, I was talking with one of our elite members, one of our special operators in the armed forces, the special forces officer, and I was speaking to him about many of the fears and anxieties that see in the world today, about the assaults of Muslims against Christians, about the way in which terrorism has taken over our world, the direction that our country is going, the growing power of China, on and on. We talked about the difficulties that were going on, and I was surprised by his response. By saying all these things, he said, "Look, Father, I'm confronted by terrorists on nearly a daily basis. I don't fear ISIS or terrorists or China's quest for global domination. At least I don't fear them as much as I fear the godless Marxists who rule our country from the shadows and have a lock on the cultural conversation." He used words again. It gripped me when he said them. He said, "Father, I'm confronted with terrorists on nearly a daily basis, and I do not fear ISIS or the terrorists or China's quest for global domination, at least not as much as I fear the godless Marxists who rule our country from the shadows and have a lock on our cultural conversation." What do you mean by that? What he meant by that was that the enemy that's within our borders is turning us against each other, and that's far more destructive. Those who promulgate this critical race theory that our president just turned his back on and kicked out of the government, the proponents of that cancel culture that has been ginning up this destructive totalitarianism, those who are shrieking in fear over the quote-unquote right of a so-called doctor to murder a preborn child through abortion, to be personing of a million children each and every year since that decision was made, killing 70% of all black pregnancies, all black children in the womb. That happens in our country every year. But even more so now, they're leading to the violent anarchy that we see with our own eyes in the streets. I actually find myself longing for the simple violence of yesteryear, where merely you'd go about occasionally and see a mob of people pummel a child or an elderly person for the crime of wearing a hat of an odious presidential candidate. Those were the mostly peaceful days of yore. But we have a new lawlessness now. What's the best way for you and I to defend our families against the lawlessness that is going on here? Today's weapons are so advanced that enemies that are even hidden behind walls or stuck deep underground in bunkers can be neutralized without any sort of visual contact. As Christians, we also face invisible enemies. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but rather against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of the present age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, let us take up the full armor of God." That was St. Paul 2,000 years ago saying this. Is that not more true today? How do we fight against invisible enemies, those who we can't see, and combat with physical arms? The greatest weapon that you and I have outside the holy sacrifice of the Mass that is offered ceaselessly upon this altar and altars all over the world to protect our nation, to protect our families and our minds against the anarchy of relativism going on in our present darkness is what? Our Lady's Holy Rosary. Take up the battle. What does St. Padre Pio? I've mentioned it every week for the past 5 weeks. St. Padre Pio says, the rosary is the weapon for our times. All nations, why do they seek to advance in weapons technology? It's because they want to preserve life, preserve our families, preserve our communities, so that each individual, that all of our families, that our communities can prosper and promulgate themselves. The rosary is one such weapon, but more powerful, because it doesn't seek merely the preservation of the body, which all of ours are eventually going to corrupt in the earth, but rather to preserve our soul, which will not corrupt for all eternity, either in heaven or in hell, with God or apart from God. One decade a day isn't enough. It's not enough. At least 5 decades a day is the bare minimum that our Lord puts forth if we're serious about standing against the vicious enemies of our soul in the world of flesh and the devil, daily seeking our destruction. You don't need me to point to the violence that's going on in our streets and our world today. I've never owned a television set in my life. You know it better than I do. But remember this. Every political anarchy has always begun by a spiritual anarchy. Meaning what? That it always begins with a rebellion that goes on in the heart, and then it goes out from there. What was the first rebellion? First rebellion in history was that of the fall of mankind, when man began, Eve, lusting after God's power within her heart, took it, and that set us on the course that we are today. What about the fall of Cain? He was the one who was the first murderer. It was his rebellion over the inequality of divine favor granted to his brother Abel that sought out of jealousy for him to steal that and steal his life in the process. What of the fall of Turkey to Islam? It used to be a very Catholic country. 500 years ago, it was begun because the Orthodox Church rebelled first against our Holy Father, the Pope. The love of Jesus grew cold when they went their own way, went in all sorts of negative ways, saying it's all right to divorce and remarriage because powerful people want to do this. So let's just go ahead and turn our back on Christ and go this way. It's easier politically. They began to love their political party in the emperor over the power of God and his laws. So they went their way. Recall the French Revolution of 1776. During that time, or 1780, whatever it was. France nearly lost its faith entirely at that time. Evil men, what they did was they found priests, pulled them out of their rectories, nuns out of their rectories, and killed them or forced them to commit unnatural acts. They stomped upon the Eucharist after stealing the tabernacles and casting the host to the ground. They destroyed the statues of the Blessed Virgin and all the saints, and they even prevented the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass from being celebrated. This was all begun because they valued luxury over Christ and his cross of self-denial. It always begins with the denial of the cross, the one thing necessary to be a follower of Christ. There's not a sexual revolution in our own American culture that continues to destroy our society. Where is it at its roots? It's in the anarchy of the communist long march of the institutions that began by twisting the establishment clause of the Constitution to separate faith from the public sphere. All these evils we're dealing with today are the result of that in our country. What's the next revolution? The next continuation that's going on? It seems to be a Marxist revolution. Instead of class versus class or rich versus poor, what is it? Now it's black versus white. We're told what? Well, because I'm angry, I can destroy. You can't criticize me because I'm owed this. This is a part of my reparations. I have to speak my truth. And if you can't handle it, then just get out of the way, because this is what democracy looks like. You've heard these things. This too is a rebellion that begins in the heart, a revolution of moral relativism, where my power and my emotion makes it right for me because I feel it so. How do we break out of the cycle of hate, the spiral of hate that just keeps going around and around? Holy Scripture. St. Paul in the letter to the Colossians, our Lord in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 says, set your mind, set your heart upon things which are above. Second reading. Love it, memorize it. What does it say? St. Paul reminds us that the rosary is the weapon that keeps us thinking about these things, whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious. If there be anything of excellence, if there has anything that is worthy of praise, think on these things. These are the things that lead us to a lasting peace found only in Christ Jesus, far from the anarchy that holds its grip in our time. These 15 mysteries of Our Lady's Most Holy Rosary, what do? They help us to take on the very mind of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary by holding our hands. Can calm every anger, every rage within our hearts, no matter where it's coming from or to what it's directed. Everyone's worried about the election. I'll tell you what. More important than your vote is praying those 5 decades of the Rosary every day. That's what's most important. God can do a million times more with a single recitation of Our Lady's Rosary than with a single vote. Maybe even more. God can do more with a single recitation of Our Lady's Most Holy Rosary than 330 million of those votes. God is so much more powerful. That's why I'm not at the back of the church registering you to vote. That's not the important thing. I'm here at the front of the church registering you to pray Our Lady's Rosary, to take up the battle, to engage on the spiritual level where all things come from. Pray the Rosary. I've mentioned to you every single week about the 15 promises that Our Lady gave St. Dominic about those who pray the Rosary. Instead of going over those again today, St. Louis de Montfort, one of the great Marian saints, he gives us seven blessings for those who pray Our Lady's Rosary. Very short and powerful. He says, here are the seven. First, the Rosary gradually brings us to a perfect knowledge of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know Jesus? The goal of the Rosary is to get us to know Jesus, because who knows Jesus better than Mary? Nobody does. She's his perfect disciple. She'll teach you everything you need to know about him. Stay with her. The second blessing of the Rosary is that it purifies our souls from sin. Does this mean that we don't have to go to confession anymore? No, that's where mortal sin is dealt with. But what it does, the recitation of the Rosary frees us from those attachments to sin that stick within our soul even after we've gone to confession, so that we can do better and grow in virtue, which is the third. The third promise is that he will give us victory over all of our enemies, and that includes the enemies of this anarchy and this relativism of our age. The fourth blessing is that it makes it easy for us to grow in virtue. Instead of slogging it away on our own through the mud, Our Lady lends us her hand. The fifth blessing is that it sets us on fire with the love of our blessed Lord. What did our Lord say when he was looking over Jerusalem right before he was to go to his passion? He said, oh, how the world, I wish to set it on fire. I wish that it were already ablaze. Hold Our Lady's Rosary. She'll fill you with the fire of her spouse, the Holy Spirit. What about the sixth blessing? It's that it enriches us with the grace and merits of Our Lady, because she shows us how to do exactly what she did. And the final blessing of the Rosary is that it supplies us with everything needed to right our relationship between us and God, but also to right our relationship between us and our fellow man. As well, in the end, it obtains for us every grace from God. Because how do we get grace itself? Through the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Christ. And so, from that very same womb, we receive every grace which Christ Jesus desires to give us. The saints tell us over and over again about stories of sinners who've gone and died physically in their sins, destined for hell, but God in his mercy raised them up so that they could have one final movement of repentance in their lives. And so often the story is given that the reason why they were raised is because they prayed Our Lady's Rosary, got a second chance to repent, to turn their lives right. If you go to the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican, I spent many hours of my life. If you go there, you'll see there on the back wall the image of the Last Judgment, the final judgment which each of us will go, beautifully depicted by Michelangelo, the great sculptor and artist. It shows what? That heaven is above, breaking off from earth, which is here in the center, and hell, which is down there below. Each of those separated there. You see all people being sorted out for their judgment, the good and the bad, all of them going to their places. Our Blessed Lord in his Eucharistic glory is magnificent in the center. You see all the angels and saints arrayed all around the Blessed Virgin Mary at his right hand. But then some people have sadly chosen to remain in their sins and are headed hellward because of their unrepentance. The demons, they are torturing them and pulling them down because of their hatred for human beings made in the image and likeness of God. But there's one angel off to the side. If you're not paying attention, you won't notice him. And there are two sinners dangling above hell there below. This angel is reaching out to them to bring them heavenward so that they may not fall into the fires of hell. And what is he using as a fishing rod, as a lure, as the escape rope to pull them up? Our Lady's beads, the rosary, holding the rosary out to them. They should have gone directly to hell, but because they held onto Our Lady's rosary, there was another chance of repentance. Our Lady has a way of bringing them to herself. Are you feeling overworked? Maybe overstressed at this time? Pray the rosary. Are you filled with anxiety about yourself or about what's going on within our country? Hold Our Lady's hand. You seek peace, but you can't find any. Are you having your mind going everywhere except for being at rest? Finger her beads. Are you frustrated by the lies, by those half-truths, by those disgraceful actions that we see, injustice, impurity, hatred, ingratitude, the mediocrity that we have in our own lives, or maybe our leaders, we should be held to a higher standard? All these things deserve the strongest condemnation, not praise, because they're not excellent in the least. St. Paul is reminding us today to ponder instead the 15 decades of Our Lady's Rosary, of our Lord's life, His death, and His resurrection. These mysteries help us to take on the very mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray the Rosary every day. And in the place of all that negativity that's dragging you and me down from where we should be, the Rosary will show you a peace that surpasses all human ability to understand. Just when you take Our Lady's hand, pray the Rosary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.